Okay, we'll have to check some IDs. Remember, no one under the age of 35 is allowed to enter this chapter. I know it's a nuisance, but we have our rules. Anyone under the age of 35 who is caught peeking into this chapter will receive a terrible and severe punishment. You'll have to stand with your nose in a circle for 30 minutes. Yes, that's pretty stern, but we just can't allow the secret laundry monster files to leak out to the general public. Too scary. We can't risk it. Have we cleared the room of all kids under the age of 35? Okay, I guess it's safe to move on to the scary part. There we were, Drover and I, surrounded by, well, confronted by this rare and very dangerous laundry monster, the likes of which I had never seen in my entire career. I mean, the thing was huge. 8 feet tall. Maybe even 9. Enormous. Have we discussed his face? Maybe not, and for good reason. He didn't have a face. Honest. No eyes, no ears, no eyebrows. Nothing but a long nose that stuck out in front like a, I don't know what, like a cucumber, I guess, or maybe it was a canister of deadly poison. Yes, that was it. They have them, you know. All your laundry monsters come equipped with a canister of deadly poison, and when they bite and sink those horrible fangs into tender flesh, the deadly poison is released into the body of the unfortunate victim. Any blood that hasn't already been curdled will curdle at once. I mean, immediately on contact. Zippo. Cottage cheese. And you know what happens next? Your tail falls off. Yes, we had ample reason for avoiding a direct confrontation with this fearsome creature. No dog would have risked it. Not even Drover, who has only a tiny stub of a tail. We continued backing away from him, it, her, whatever it was, until we had backed ourselves into the yard fence. There we came to a halt. Unfortunately, the creature kept slouching towards us. By this time, I had gone into fully raised hair, which means I had lifted a strip of hair that began at the base of my head and ran all the way out to the end of my tail. Sometimes we have trouble getting those tail hairs to lift, but this time, no problem. They were up and ready. Well, when we felt our hindmost parts making contact with the fence, I knew at once that we had, well, run out of yard, I guess you might say, and it was time to make some tough decisions. Drover, what's your feeling here?
Scared.
I know, but I mean your feelings about our next move. Should we make a stand and fight to the death?
Oh, let's not.
I'm glad to hear you say that. I mentioned it as one of our options, but I agree that it's not our best. That leaves us with a couple of other responses. I suggest we do a blast of Code 3 barking. If that doesn't stop him, well, we may have to make a run for it. What do you say to that?
Let's run first and bark later, if we're still alive.
No, that would bring us some momentary satisfaction, but later we'd look back and regret that we didn't. The monster raised his arms. For a moment, my tongue was frozen against the top of my mouth.
Hank, I can't understand you. Help, murder, mayday.
I said, this is getting out of hand. Go straight into Code 3 barking. Ready? Let her rip, Drover. Give him the full load. Don't hold anything back for tomorrow. And with that, we braced our legs against the ferocious recoil of the Code 3 barkings and cut loose with a withering barrage. Most monsters can be stopped in their tracks by such a display of barking. Not this one. He kept coming. Okay, Drover, that didn't work. He must have raised his barking shield. We can't touch him with these barks.
Who'd want to touch him?
Exactly my point. We have no choice now but to abandon our last stand situation and go to a second to last stand.
What does that mean?
It means run, Drover. Run for your life. If you can fire off a few barks over your shoulder, so much the better. We've got to sound the alarm. Loper and Sally Mae must be warned so they can begin evacuating the house. We must save the children.
Oh my gosh!
We'll regroup on the north side of the house. Ready? Drover was already gone, the little weenie. He'd left without orders, a plan, anything. Our front line had collapsed. Our troops were in disarray. It was every dog for himself. I took one last glimpse at the yikes. I canceled the last glimpse and went straight into the rocket dog procedure. Hit full throttle on all engines and went roaring away. Maybe you think I didn't dare to fire off a few over-the-shoulder barks, but you're wrong. It was dangerous, maybe even foolish of me, but I unloaded several blasts. I knew they wouldn't stop him, but maybe they would slow him down. Within seconds, I was approaching light speed. I streaked around the corner of the house and looked up just in time to see Drover. He was sitting there like a rabbit in headlights, his eyes as big as pies. Get out of the way! I can't stop this thing! It was too late. It was a terrible collision. Dogs flew in all directions in a blur of feet, legs, and ears. At first, I feared that the impact had knocked poor Drover all the way out into the horse pasture. I mean, at such speed, those collisions can cause unbelievable damage. I landed in Sally Mae's flower bed, smashing a whole bunch of flowers, so to speak. Sally Mae's precious flowers. In the deadly silence that followed the wreck, I feared the worst. I was still alive and would be captured by Sally Mae, who would march me out behind the house and cut off my tail with her butcher knife. Fortunately, I was spared that awful fate, but then I began to realize that I was badly hurt. I had lost all feeling below my ears. I couldn't move. Perhaps I was paralyzed. Drover, Drover, can you hear me? A faint voice came from the darkness.
I'm not sure. What did you say?
I haven't said anything yet. Are you hurt?
Yeah, I got run over by a truck.
That was no truck, that was me. By the time I saw you, it was too late. Sorry. How badly are you hurt?
Terrible! I can't move. I think I'm paralyzed.
Rubbish, you're not paralyzed. Get up and come over here at once.
Well, I guess I could try. Hey, I can move this foot. And this leg moves and, oh boy, I can stand up. I'm not paralyzed.
See, what did I tell you? Get yourself over here. We've got a problem. I heard his footsteps, then his face emerged from the darkness.
Oh, hi. Gosh, you smashed Sally Mae's flowers. I bet she's gonna be mad.
Sally Mae's flowers are the least of our worries, Drover. We have a much more serious problem than mashed flowers.
Yeah, that ghost.
He ran his gaze through the gloom.
I wonder where he went.
Shh, quiet. Our problem is even more serious than the laundry monster, Drover. You see, I've been badly injured. I fear that I'm paralyzed. He stared at me.
That's what I said. And you said rubbish. It kind of hurts my feelings.
I said rubbish because you weren't paralyzed, and I knew it.
How'd you know it?
Because you're a little hypercardiac, Drover. You spent your whole life being sick and injured, but when it comes time to run from a fight, you always seem to do pretty well. My problem is real. I'm in bad shape. If the laundry monster comes, I'm afraid you'll have to. I heard a rush of wind. Drover? Drover! Why, you little weasel, come back here at once, and that's a direct order. He had abandoned me to my fate. let us say. My only hope was that the terrible laundry monster had given up the chase and had found something. I heard the snap of a twig. My ears shot straight up and swiveled around to the west. I heard the faint rustle of footsteps in the grass. Drover, is that you? If it is, please identify yourself. Drover? No answer. The footsteps were coming closer. My heart began to pound, and I felt the hair rising on... I almost said on my back, but that was impossible. Don't forget that I was paralyzed, horribly wounded, unable to move. Hensley, the hair on my back couldn't have risen. It must have been something else. The sound of the footsteps reached my ears again. I lifted my head and... No, wait, I couldn't have lifted my head, right? I must have been mistaken. In the dreadful silence, I waited and listened. Footsteps, the swish of grass, and then...
I'm the ghost of Kalamazoo!
Holy smokes, he was coming after me. Drover, I order you to come here at once, do you hear me? We're moving into a serious combat situation, and I demand that you... He was standing right beside me. Not Drover, but the monster, the horrible laundry monster. I can almost feel his eerie presence, and then... Hang on, this is getting into the heavy-duty scary stuff. I felt the cold, icy swish of his sheet passing across my head. That was it, fellers. That was all I could take. Suddenly, new reserves of energy poured into my bodily parts and... You might find this hard to believe. My terrible paralysis was... Well, cured. It was very mysterious, even miraculous, and I don't pretend to understand how it happened, but it did. Poof! In the brink of an eyeball, somehow the bones in my broken neck welded themselves together and I was back in the security business. I didn't waste a second. I leaped to my feet and burned a hole through the darkness and didn't slow down until I reached a spot just beneath Loper and Sally Mae's bedroom window. There, I took up a defensive position and threw the last of my energy reserves into barking a total Code 3 alert. Our friends at the house had to be warned.
Alert! Alert! Alarm! Alarm! Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? We have an enormous laundry monster running loose out here. Wake up the children, get the gun, evacuate the house at once. This is not a test. Repeat, this is not a test.
Having done my duty, I could only wait for help to arrive and hope that I had warned them in time to avoid a catastrophe. The worst part is over. The kids can come back now.